And one thing that made that so neat was there was some real value there. I don't know if you enjoyed that as much as I did. I think they enjoyed playing. First time ever in the world that that arrangement was heard. It's pretty neat, okay? So give God the glory for that, because by His grace and through His help, we are able to produce something of value. Now, I point that out because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. And value can come in many, many different forms. Now, you may look at that and say, well, that was just some music that I heard. I didn't even hear lyrics with it. How could that really communicate spiritual truth? Well, yes, you do need to know the lyrics in your head, maybe, for the truth to be very tangible. But did you catch the medley there? What two songs were they? Anybody know? The Old Rugged Cross and... See, I can look at the music and see. Christ Liveth in Me. I think that was the second one. And those are two powerful, powerful songs. And there was some good value there that we got to enjoy. So praise the Lord. But the Old Rugged Cross was one of them. Of course, speaking of the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross to pay for our sins. We don't have to pay for them. He's done all of that. He's paid for them all on the Old Rugged Cross. And so we take time to remember the cross, and that's a powerful song. If you wanted to know the words to that song, it's in the hymnal right in front of you. You could look it up in the index and learn more about the truth about the Old Rugged Cross. And then the second song was Christ Liveth in Me. And the power of that, when you realize that you're a sinner, you've got a problem with sin, and you need someone to fix that, or you're going to spend an eternity separated from God, paying for your sins yourself in a place called hell. When you realize those truths, and you realize that Jesus is the one who can fix that sin problem. And the Bible teaches, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, in Jesus, shall not perish but have everlasting life. It teaches that when you realize Jesus is the answer and you choose to believe in Jesus to fix your sin problem, He will. You can have your sins forgiven before a holy God. And then Christ, the life of Christ, becomes your life. He begins to live through you. And it is an amazing, life-changing thing. So many people are going through life and they are defeated. There's no victory. There's no hope. But Jesus brings hope to your life. And that song was just marvelous because there's so much value there for us this evening. And I want us to think about value tonight. What is it that you value? We all value things, and we all have different likes and things we disvalue too, dislikes. And so we're very unique, and we have our preferences about this or that. What is it that you value? And guys, you can go ahead and turn that on now this evening. Been waiting for my sermon to descend from the clouds. And it is. So we'll get it on the screen here and be able to visualize our truth here a little bit tonight, eventually. So tonight we're going to be thinking about value, and I entitled this Utilizing Value. And I'm trying to package this up into some kind of series. All along, we've been talking about developing a personal evangelism brand and trying to get real practical with how we build relationships with other people in our sphere of influence, how we evangelize and share the good news of Jesus Christ, trying to become very strategic in our approach. And so let's put this all under the umbrella of strategic evangelism. And I don't know how long the Lord will have us following these lines of thought, but I hope that it will get us thinking differently. I hope it'll get us thinking more practically and being more effective in our evangelism, because we've got to approach evangelism with a plan. And there are some good examples in the Bible for us to follow. So, Utilizing value. Let me ask you the question again. What is it that you value in life? Some people really value their hobbies. And boy, they invest a whole lot of time into their hobby, and they maybe get very good at it and accomplish quite amazing works. And they're all about that hobby, whether it's painting or whether it's kayaking or snowboarding or whatever it is. And people really throw themselves into certain hobbies. Other people really value their work, where they earn a living. And they excel in that. They become real professionals. And that's where they put a lot of their effort into something like their employment. Other people value their families. I hope all of us in this room value family. Valuing family is very, very important. And we want you, as pastors here, to put a high priority on family in your lives. And so valuing family is important. Other people value friends. That's good. Building genuine relationships that build other people up. What is it that you value? I wish that we would find more people in our community that value Jesus Christ. I wish that there would be more people that would value the good news of the gospel. Sadly, in the day that we live, not many people do. They have to be taught to value Jesus. They have to be taught to value the truth of the truths found in the Word of God. But by default, it seems most people that you encounter anymore do not value Jesus. And so we need to encourage them too. We need to help them see that there is great value in Jesus. There's great value in church. Of course, attending a good church, not one that's teaching a false doctrine or something other than the Word of God. Sadly, most people in our day don't value church, but they can learn to. They may value their hobbies, they may value many different things, but my passion is to take some of the things that they value, that are okay to value, and try to help them, especially in this local area, transform that into a value for the Word of God, a value for the truth, a value for Jesus Christ. What is it that you value? And I wonder, do you value Jesus? Like I said, many people sadly don't in our day, but do you value Jesus? In other words, has there ever been a time in your life where you realized the truth of the Bible about how you're a sinner before a holy God? You realized that Jesus was the answer to that problem, as I was saying earlier, and you valued that. And you held that with high regard. You realized that was the truth, and you valued it to the point to where you said, you know what, I need that, and I accept that. Just like when you find a good product in the store. There's a good company that behind it, they have great customer support. You come to value that product, you see how that is your need, and you purchase that. It becomes yours. Have you ever chosen to take Christ, Jesus, and the gift of eternal life that he has offered you, the forgiveness of sins that he has offered to everyone in the world through his love? Have you ever taken Jesus as your own and valued him that way? Do you know for sure this evening that your sins are forgiven before God and that you have a relationship with him? If you are like so many in our day who sadly do not value Jesus and have never taken him as your own, then I would encourage you that before you leave the building tonight, you would talk to myself or pastor or someone and learn the value of Jesus, because he will radically change your life if you let him. For the good. He will change your eternity too, forever. And so we all need Jesus in our lives. Do you value Jesus? Sadly, many people don't in our day. What can we do to help them begin to value Jesus? I think we need to approach that with some forethought. We need to approach that question with a plan. And we need to get into our community with some strategy and help others come to realize that they need Jesus. They need the gospel. I want to remind you, as we've been studying a little bit the personal evangelism brand concept, I want to remind you that God has made all of us unique for a purpose. He has designed each one of us with certain talents and certain values and things that we like and skills. He has made us each unique here tonight. And he has a plan for each one of our lives. It's a special plan. It's a wonderful plan. We do have the ability to either choose God's way or reject God's way. And I hope that each one of us here tonight are choosing God's way, letting his will be done in our lives, and that plan of his being carried out. Taking all that he has given us, our skills, our talents, our abilities, who we are, and using that for the glory of God. That is a lot of what we've been discussing with this personal evangelism brand concept. He has made us unique. God wants each one of us to be bearing fruit. That could be fruit in the realm of edification, encouraging other believers. That could be fruit in the realm of evangelism, of course. That's the main idea I would get from that most often, multiplying. You're a fruit. You grew into a special valuable fruit, and then you are as a seed planted, which then bears more fruit, and that's the illustration that Jesus gave. And so we need to bear fruit, the Bible teaches. And also, God has promised us that the fields are already white to harvest. So there are people out there that are in great need, and they need the truth of the gospel. Many don't value it, but they need to learn to value it so that they come to a saving knowledge, a trust, faith in Christ. And so as we consider all these things, God has made us unique. He wants us to bear fruit. There is a harvest that's ready to be brought in. We must strategically advance with the gospel. Will we receive opposition? Absolutely. We've been learning about that in DBS class. Maybe 2 weeks ago it was. And we realized, okay, we're going to receive opposition from men. We're going to receive opposition from Satan. And so this is not an easy thing. There will be opposition. But what did we also learn in that? It was that Paul pressed forward in spite of the opposition. And we need to, too. We need to be ready for that. You know that the opposition that's out there, they take all of this, that a lot of it happens in the spiritual realm, they take it as war. You know, the devil, he is in opposition to us because he is treating this as war when it comes to the souls of men. There are spiritual battles going on, and if this is as serious as spiritual war, and it is, then we have to have strategy, and we must advance with a plan. And so a personal evangelism brand is part of encouraging us to think strategically and to move forward with a plan on an individual basis. A personal evangelism brand. We thought about how this is going to take total commitment on our part. If we're going to develop that package and take all that God has given us and actually practically use it to help other people and encourage them and point them to the value of Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to totally commit to that kind of a thing. And we noticed in Luke chapter 14 some of these things, how Christ said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus Christ was teaching, you got to be totally committed to this. But we also saw that it's going to take careful planning. And there's this idea of market value that we discussed. Of course, under the concept of a brand. Now, what's a brand? The business realm often operates this way, and they have their marketing that they do. And the whole concept is they are trying to develop a good business plan, and their brand and their marketing is designed to attract your attention so that you are introduced to the value the company has to offer you as a customer. Now, I don't like to take things in church and make it into a business. Okay, there's churches that go astray following a business model too much. That's not our intent here. But there's an illustration here that we can glean from, realizing there's something important about this concept of offering value. That's what businesses do in an economy setting, in the commercial realm. They are trying to offer value to customers. They're trying to attract customers to their value and be able to sell that product. So they create a colorful ad with what they would call is a call to action. That's the thing they want you to click on. That's the purchase they want you to make. After you see the ad, that's the action they want you to take. And the hope is that it will generate what they literally call conversions. You ever hear that? Okay, they develop a brand, create an ad, and the call to action has to be very clear. This is all how they operate, and they're trying to generate conversions. Folks, I want to see some generation of conversions at Faith Bible Church. We are being able to, through the working of God, to interact with many people every week. And there is such an opportunity we have day after day as a congregation to make life-changing influence upon our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, and I hear stories about it. And I tell you, it is so exciting. Ezekiel, back there. So excited to hear, you know, some of the opportunities he's having with people that God has brought into his life. And just thrilled. And many of you, I hear story after story of things that God is doing. And that is so important because it's on that level, I believe, we'll really see conversions. Genuine conversions, like the kinds that we remembered in Luke chapter 8, the maniac of Gadara. There he was, totally different after Jesus came into his life. And that kind of thing can happen in the people, in the lives of people that you and I are meeting week after week, going about our daily things. There can be Gadara conversions happening. And we need to pray to that end. So, personal evangelism brand. I want to tonight zero in on that concept of value and get our minds going a little more with that, because I think that is very key for us to focus on. So let's go here now and consider the significance of value. The significance of value. If we want to increase the chances of seeing more people saved and added to our church, we have to generate more value around here. And I want to bring you back to that phrase that I believe I introduced to you last time. If you have nothing that a person values, then you have nothing to reach them with. If you have nothing that a person values, then you have nothing to reach them with. There it is on the screen. I want you to really think over that, okay? Now, that's good to spend time thinking about that, but I just want to put in a word of warning here, okay? Thinking about strategy a lot is good, but never forget, we are depending upon the power of God. My battery dead, guys. Sorry. Okay, I'll stay here. We have to depend upon the power of God. It's important we have a plan, and it's important that we put together a strategy. And we think, how can I practically help other people in their lives? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much planning and how much strategy you conjure up. It's got to be the power of God that makes a difference in people's lives. not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the power of God that changes people's lives. However, that doesn't mean we just sit back and let God do all the work. No, he's given us responsibility, and we had better go about it with a brain. We had better go about it with some plans. We had better look at what God has given us and say, I've got to use this for him, or I'm not being a good steward. I'm not being a good steward of the talents that he has given me. I'm not being a good steward of the abilities that he has brought into my life. I need to use all this for him. And so keep that balanced. Keep that balanced in your minds. And moving forward with this, we see that there is something special about the concept of value, offering value. And so the significance of value is something that I believe as you develop your personal evangelism brand, you really have to consider this concept. Now, let's put this on the screen to help us think a little further with this. It was about 2 months ago when I began to think about it in this way, and maybe you can build on this, and it'll just help shed a little more light as you develop your personal evangelism brand. I got this from Pastor. I don't know, you may have gotten it from somewhere else, but the concept here is you have an individual. What is the makeup of a person? What causes them to be who they are that you experience, that you perceive? And this is very true how this works. You look at their character. You recognize them as they go about their daily tasks, and you start to realize the character that they are. Some of us are pretty crazy characters, but that's not exactly what I'm thinking about. Are they a good person or are they a bad person? Do they have a good character or are they trustworthy? Can you not trust them? And so the character at the very top there is their testimony. It's how others see you, okay? And we all have character whether we like it or not. I hope, by the grace of God, that we are seen as people of good character. But you see where character comes from? It comes from the choices that a person makes. Pastor's given us to this before in his preaching, and so hopefully it'll bring some of that back to your mind. But your character comes from the choices that a person makes. It's what you do day after day on the practical level. You spend time doing this, you don't spend time doing that. You put value on that, and so that's where you invest yourself. And those are the choices. And we can see that in other people, can we not? So that's a part of our makeup. Our character comes from our choices. Our choices come from our values. So what we value is extremely important. And on this level, you kind of have the person's heart, their desires. It's where a lot of their emotions are wrapped up, I would say. Now you can make argue that there's emotions through all of this. Okay, whatever. But I want us to see there's something special about that value level. And you see where that value level comes from? It comes from their beliefs. So this is pretty simple, and I think it's very real. The beliefs is that person's foundation for life. I would say it's their worldview. And the beliefs of a person then generate that person's values. The values generate the choices they make. And it results in the character of the individual. And so how do you take a person that's made up of these four different things and cause a Gadara conversion to take place? How can we see that happening in our community, in the relationships that we have with other people? Again, it's got to be a work of God. But if we add a little planning to this and a little bit of strategy, how are we going to, I don't like the word attack, but how are we going to attack that stronghold? And how are we going to start influencing that person so that by the grace of God, they start valuing what God wants them to value. And they come to a understanding of what Jesus did for them and how he can changed their life and they put their trust in him. And on the core level, on the belief level, they start to say, all right, I believe God is real. I believe that this book that we call the Bible is from God and it's the truth. And on that belief level, how do we get them to the point to where they start to realize Jesus is the truth? He's the Savior of mankind, and I need him. And on that belief level, how do we get them to where they come to the point where they trust in Jesus completely? Not in themselves, not in their own works and how good they can live, but they choose to fully depend upon Jesus for the deliverance they need from sin. How do we get them then to change their values, their choices, their character, and on up? Have a complete conversion. Not one that's just pray a prayer and they go back to a former lifestyle. That's not the discipleship we want to see. Well, I believe that every single one of these levels is important. But as I consider this, I see there's some very hard strongholds there for a lot of people, don't you? Now, again, a lot of this of what I'm showing to you right now up on the screen, this isn't necessarily spelled out in the Bible. So we're just taking some time thinking here tonight and trying to analyze real life situations. But you give me some feedback. If all you do is address somebody's character, do you think you'll get very far in seeing a Gadara conversion happen? What would be ways that maybe you would try to influence somebody's character? I don't necessarily have an answer for the question I'm asking. I'm just trying to get some feedback out of you. What would be a way that maybe someone would try to be pecking away at someone else's character? In a positive way or maybe in a negative way, which we don't want to be doing, but any thoughts? All right, what about choices? Some of this could go together. All right, you're quiet this evening. I'm thinking like this. Okay, Dad? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking along those lines. And so if we're coming in right there at maybe the choice level or the character level, and we're saying, look, buddy, you've really got an issue with drinking, and you know it's destroying a life, and you need to stop. Now, those can be encouraging or challenging words and good words to say to a friend and someone you know to try to help them on the right way. But we're trying to get them to value Jesus Christ. And so I think we need to go a little deeper than just the choice level and the character level. Often if you deal with someone on the character level or the choice level, I think they put up a brick wall pretty quick. Well, who are you to judge me? It's extremely hard, I think, to get right at the belief level because people are firm on their beliefs. Very firm. Wouldn't you say? You're not going to change people quick by just going right at that level, though that's the level that really needs to change. We all know that. Alyssa, go ahead. Okay, yeah, so that would be a positive way to try to influence this kind of a person. But if I walked up to a Mennonite man, I walked up to him and I started just trying to shoot right at his choices that he makes or right at his beliefs, I think there will be a brick wall that goes up pretty quick. But what I'm trying to get you to think about is, what about that value level? I think there is something special about that that influences both ways if you can get in. Now, that's all my conjuring up and thinking. Again, I don't see that in the Word of God, but I'm just analyzing human relationships and building bridges with other people. I think that value level is very significant. Why? Because there's a lot of emotions wrapped up there. People are very attached to the things that they value. The desires are on that level. And so we want to get them to learn to value Jesus Christ. Well, that there's got to be desire there that's happening. And so the value is, I believe, very important. So we see on this screen that values are fundamental. People do what they want to do. They pursue the things that matter to them. They are willing to invest in and sacrifice for the things that they hold dear. But I believe as we just practically look at our relationships with other people, we would see that values are not just very fundamental, as you see on the screen, but they're also very functional. Okay? There is a practical way that we can connect with other people through what they value. God made us that way. We have things that we value, and it is a very practical way that we can reach people and get into their lives and influence them for good. So values are real life. When you provide someone with something that they value, it is an easy way into their life more. And we're not trying to be sneaky about this. We're not trying to lead someone astray. No, we are trying to help them to see the change that Jesus Christ can make in their life for the good. And help them to see that in us. But so many people don't want to see that initially until they start realizing, you know what, there's something different about him. There's something different about her, and I need that. What's happening when they do that? Their values are starting to be shifted. Their eyes are starting to be open to what they really need to value in life. And so values are very fundamental. And I believe as we study scriptures, and I want to encourage you as you're having your devotions this week, to look for this in whatever passage you may be reading. How were the people in the passage here connecting with other people through offering something of value? So just look for that, and I believe the Lord will lead you to some neat things. So let's think about the standard for value a little bit. How do we begin to see some of this in the Word of God? Well, I think as we were to study the life of Christ, we would see, of course, all his miracles. We would see how he was taking the miracles, and there were several purposes for the miracles, but one thing that he was doing with those miracles was he was providing something that other people valued. He was taking that and healing a blind man or healing a lame man, and everyone around valued a miraculous thing like that happening. Okay, you say, well, the chief priest didn't. Yeah, there was other things getting in the way there. But for the common man, and especially the person who was healed, there was no question, they were valuing that. It got their attention. It was, as you could say, that was a good selling ad, right? I don't like to use those terms, but that got their attention, and it called them to action, and they began to value what it was, this person that just walked on that calls himself Jesus. What does he have to say? Because he offered something of value. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. I apologize, we won't be turning to a lot of passages just as we explore this thinking a little bit. I want to get you thinking more about it. But over in John chapter 4, of course, we know the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And I think you can see Jesus using this. This isn't a hard concept. It's nothing really new. And in fact, we do this all the time in our human relationships. It's how you build friendship with other people. You offer value, they offer you value. So consider it more in your life. But here in John chapter 4, you remember the story how Jesus went into the land of Samaria. The Bible says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman that Jesus knew he would meet there that had all kinds of issues in her life. And she needed change. She needed a Gadara conversion to take place in her life. She needed the truth of God. and his love to come to our understanding. And so he needed to go through there, and he did. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now he wasn't demanding, as it might sound like to you. You're just asking, can you give me some water? And his disciples had gone away, verse 8. But then verse 9, the woman said, basically, I'll paraphrase, you know, why would you ask me for that? Because I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, and the Samaritans and Jews don't get along. And so this was a very odd encounter. But as you see the conversation going on, Jesus began to pique her interest through value, saying things that she placed value on, saying things that caused her to realize, you have something I need. Verse 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she said, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she had a lot of things to learn yet there. But you can see her recognizing there's value here. I need what he has. Furthermore, he began to go on and say, I know everything about you, basically. And she's like, how do you know that? He was, again, offering something that piqued her interest. It was valuable to her. You know a whole lot more about me than I realize. And so she was realizing, I need what you have. That's the concept. Some of the thinking that I want to encourage us to have as we develop a personal evangelism brand. God has given us abilities. Other people need what we have. Ultimately, they need Jesus. But God has given us other things that we can offer to draw them to Jesus, and they are ready to be drawn through the values that they have. Now, we're just about out of time. time goes fast, sorry. But Acts chapter 18, if you were to turn there, you don't have to, but Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, reminds you that Paul met Aquila and Priscilla. Can you remember what Aquila and Priscilla did? They were tent makers, okay? And from this passage, we learn not only were they tent makers, but Paul was a tent maker too. And so they got together and made tents together. And he began to work alongside of them. Verses 1 through 3. Now, most of the time you see Paul, as you would see later in that passage, he was going into the synagogue, and he was preaching there, and he was doing a lot of ministry. But don't forget, he was making tents also. And I guarantee you, that the Apostle Paul was not just preaching Christ in the synagogue, and then he'd go back and sit at his desk and work his job. He was living the gospel out in every way he could, and he was using what God gave him to connect with people. He had to sell those tents. Aquila and Priscilla, this was their livelihood, and so while they were interacting with people, they had a wonderful opportunity to be making a difference in people's lives because they had something of value to give to someone else. It was called a tent. So there's an interesting thing there to consider. Also, in the book of Acts chapter 16, you meet a lady named Lydia, who the Bible says was a seller of purple. You know what? She produced something of value. Yes, it was a physical item. It doesn't have to be a physical item, but here in this case, again, someone was producing something, a physical product, and no doubt there would then be opportunity to connect with other people, and there would be opportunity to help them see the makeup of who you are. So in the Bible, I want to encourage you, as you study it, look for how the people of God use value to form relationships. And think about it, how that is true in your life. You connect with people through values, things that they value, things that you value. And why not In fact, I believe we must use those things to draw them to Jesus. So the standard for value, the strategy for value. All right, so this is going to involve, we have to look around and perceive what value, what can be valuable. The strategy, all right? You're going to, if a business is going to have a plan, if you're going to develop a personal evangelism brand, then you've got to analyze the market a little bit. So think in your life, what has God given you that is valuable, and what and who out there is looking for it? Who out there can you begin to build a relationship with this thing that is valuable to you and to them? Several months ago, we had this sheet of paper to help us think about some of these questions, to develop your personal evangelism brand. And good stuff on here that I think gets us thinking strategically, helps us to perceive the market a little bit, helps us to perceive the value that we have, and to be using that for the Lord. So those are available back there. I want to encourage you to continue to use those. But we got to be perceptive about this, and we've talked about this already in the past. Look around. Think. What is the market that God has placed you in? And what value do you have there to offer? And then that's going to lead us to putting action to that and providing the value. Now, we're not going to go deeper into these different thoughts, but adding structure upon structure here to get you going further. We've got to then start to put that brand into practice. So, a little practical exercise of that as we finish up our time tonight. Let's do another one of these. Olivia loves painting. She spends hours in her cozy studio painting colorful scenes of nature, people, and everyday life. Once her paintings are finished, she hangs them on the walls of her home or gives them as special gifts to her friends and family. Sometimes she even sells them at local art fairs or online. What are some ways that you think Olivia might be able to connect with other people and then cause them to begin to value Jesus Christ? Go ahead. Okay, yep. So let's say she likes painting nature, and so have some paintings with a verse in the painting or some kind of a verse attached to the package. Okay, and she could build upon that saying, all right, I've got this verse, this concept about the majesty of God and these mountains I painted or something, and I really want to get a message across, and so I'm also going to write up a few paragraphs of spiritual truth that would go in the packaging and get some kind of thing that I can try to make that a little more impactful. She's thinking outside of the box. Well, maybe inside the box if it goes in the package. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah. He wouldn't have been able to do that unless he had something of value to offer, right? He had a reason to be there he had a reason to be there. He had things of value to connect with other people. He was prepared, you know, to do that and making an impact. If you don't have something of value, you have nothing to reach people with. And all of us have something of value to use, so develop that. Yes, Pastor?
Some sort of art lessons. You know, people, students in here.
Good. Okay. She could put a sign out that says free art lessons, painting lessons. You think she'd get anyone to sign up for that? I think so. And now she's got half-hour sessions scheduled out for her week with people in the community where she is able to work with them and chat with them before the class starts, chat with them after, a captive audience, to where she has somebody where she can really start pouring her life into. That's wonderful. Yeah, education is a huge one, huge one. Do you have another thought, Mom?
I know some missionaries turn their artwork into calendars. Calendar has a verse. That's an intro to a lot of people.
Yeah, calendar is great. It continues to keep stay in front of them throughout the year. Good. Okay. We'll save the other one for another time. But I want to really get you thinking about this. I heard of a church back in Bible college is when I heard about this. There's a church down in Florida. I don't think I mentioned this to you before. But one of their ways that they started producing value was they started up an ice cream truck. And this ice cream truck that they really outfitted for the gospel and for connecting with people was going into the community, and they were reaching souls with ice cream. I think that's great. Now, I'm not sensing the Lord leading us to get an ice cream truck, but you know what they're doing? They're providing value, something that other people already value, so that they can teach those people to value what they really need to value. It's important. I was out in Kentucky, Harned, Kentucky, and there in Kentucky is a pastor who spends time, his free time, chopping firewood, processing firewood, and he has connected with so many people in town. I believe he gives it away for free. Maybe not, but either way is fine, as the Lord leads you. And he has made so many connections. When I was there that week, I helped him process some firewood, and we delivered firewood to somebody's house, and those people did not know the Lord. He was offering value, something that those people in that rural place, he knew there was a market for. He knew they would value it. And he was getting into their lives consistently through that thing that they valued, so that they could learn to value the thing they really needed to value. I heard of another church. I listened to this sermon. Roger, you gave this to me, and I need to find that one again because I want to listen to it again. But there was another church where I believe the young people recognized, all right, the local fire company has horrible-looking fire hydrants in our town. They need repainted. And so they went to the fire company and said, can we repaint those for you? Would that be helpful? And they did. And that just, they offered value. And that opened up a lot of doors into that community because they were repainting fire hydrants. There was another story of two elderly ladies who, I don't remember quite all the details, but they recognized there was a need for some specialized tutoring in the local school or in the community of some way. And these two ladies really teamed up and said, we can make an impact in children's lives by teaching them math after hours and teaching them English or whatever they did. And those stories were amazing of what those elderly ladies were able to accomplish for the Lord, because they realized, okay, we've got to offer something of value to these other people so that we can connect with them and we can introduce them to Jesus Christ. You know, the more you think about this, the more you realize, so this Christmas Hope Festival thing, it is kind of outside of the box. It is kind of different, isn't it? Why are we doing it? And we have spent a lot of time thinking about the why of the Christmas Hope Festival, but you know what it does? It offers value to this community. So the Lord has led us to realize, look around and say, what is it that they value? Now, we're not going to go to things that are unbiblical and offer them those things that they value. That wouldn't be right. But Christmas is something we could use for the Lord. And they place a high value on it. It's a special time for family. They value family during Christmas time. They like to get out and do things that are special, that makes a memory for them, and they just place a value in that. And so that is an excellent thing we could use for the Lord here. And so a Christmas Hope Festival, Now, that's not the only way to reach people. We don't want to be just the Christmas Hope Festival church, but the idea is they value something. There's a market for this, you could say. How can we use that to reach them with the gospel? Because what people value, they learn to trust. You buy a product from a company because you say, man, I value that, and I think that's going to be good. And so you're trusting that company. And you'll probably trust them for another product they'll come out with, and maybe another product later, because they're developing a trust with you, and you are giving them more of your attention each time. The more we have somebody's attention, the more they begin to trust what we have to say, the closer they're getting to accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, the closer they're getting to valuing what they really need to value. And so I think this is very important for us all to consider, and I know I've gone over time, but would you consider, what can you offer of value that can make a difference in someone else's life? Each one of us has something we can use. Each one of us. And so develop your personal evangelism brand. Make it very, very practical. And see what God will do with that. We'll continue to talk about this. We'll continue to move forward with studying strategic evangelism in the future. And so I encourage you to be praying about that and thinking about it. And I do want you to talk to me about it. I do want to be working with you to help you put together that package so that you can be effectively, consistently be reaching other people that brings into your life, that God brings into your life with the truth of His word. Let's go ahead and pray.